You should have one handout, which is the outline, four total pages, two pages on both sides stapled together, and then a separate handout for just a little bonus. Why should we eagerly await the coming of Jesus? I give you 8 reasons. And then on the back of the sheet, a little more information that I don't have. Some of this I have not discussed, but preparation for the second coming of Christ. So hopefully that can aid you in your study, ongoing study as well. So we begin our 6th week of our journey. For those of you that weren't here last week, I kind of added something to our overall overview of what I've attempted to do in defining what God is doing. And I defined it last week in terms of one way of looking at it is like building a house to understand. And so you start with the foundation, so that's where we started the first week, the sovereignty of God. Without the sovereignty of God, none of this can be meaningful. And then we frame the house. That's what you do when you build a house. You frame it up. And so we did that by studying what the word itself says about God's prophetic word, what the role of Israel is, and what the role of the church is. And last week we started on the finishing process. How do you finish the house? All the painting, all the trim and so forth. So last week we looked at how does God give us a glimpse into his total plan? And we have to start with his word, but I gave you things in lesson 5 on other ways that God helps us to get a glimpse into his plan. And today we're going to take and finish the puzzle, not only literally the puzzle, the jigsaw puzzle, that kind of is an analogy, if you will, of this process. And so we're going to do it by the pieces falling into place. And when I refer to the puzzle, and if you've done a jigsaw puzzle, which most of you have, as you get most of the puzzle done, and you still have sections of the puzzle not put together, but the closer you get to the completion of the puzzle, the less pieces you have to figure out. And you can then concentrate on the pieces that still are not put in place. And so that's what we're doing now. We're trying to take God's word, and this word has been given to us for the last 2,000 years as a church. And so we've had this word to study. But so much of that word didn't make sense to the church for a lot of the years, because a lot of the things that were written here prophetically couldn't happen back in the Middle Ages. It couldn't happen at the time of Christ. But we can see in our times today, there's nothing in this word that's a prophetic word that could not literally happen. You know, we'll talk about some of those things in the outline. So let's jump right into the outline. Very quickly on the definition, because I always like to define what we're teaching on. And the definition of pieces falling into place. So I need to talk on 2 things. The pieces themselves. What are the pieces we're talking about? Obviously, in a jigsaw puzzle, you literally have pieces of the puzzle. But what do we have with trying to understand what God is doing and the conclusion of his plan through his prophetic word? And so we have the prophetic word yet to be fulfilled. That's what I would define as the pieces we're trying to put in order, in some kind of orderly fashion. And for us, those of us that look on a eschatology, that's a big word for the end time study, when we look at things in a way that the end times will occur when Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom. Not everybody believes that, but that's how we believe the Bible literally reads. And so, what are the pieces yet that need to be put in place for that grand event to take place? for Christ to return, and what happens when he returns, and then there are. So simply, the pieces I'm talking about are God's prophetic word that have not physically, literally happened at this point. How are the pieces falling into place? The second bullet point there. And I'd say simply, just as I was mentioning with the jigsaw puzzle, the fewer the pieces that are left, kind of the, hopefully, the more it makes sense, the more it comes together. So when we look at God's word, the pieces of unfulfilled prophecy that are coming into alignment. And that's a lot of what we want to look at today. And what Raymond has been teaching on Sunday nights. And so when I get into some of these things, I won't go into them in detail. I just encourage anybody that can, you know, come to those. For example, the Gog and Magog battles or a war that's talked about in Scripture, Ezekiel 38-39. I have it listed here. But Raymond's been doing a really great job on the current information, the alignment of the nations, and how all this is seemingly coming together before our eyes. So how's everything lining up? And that's what we're talking about as we look at how are those pieces falling into place. Now, we know just by who God is and who we are, we can't know. We can't know ahead of time exactly all these things will come about. But God gives us enough information to alert us. And when it does happen, when things do happen, we can say, yeah, that's what God was intending. And so that's what we're looking for. Let me talk here on the second major theme is the key pieces to be identified. And I'm just going to go down them kind of in order by the bullet points. The first bullet point there is Israel as a nation restored. In my personal opinion, that is the key piece. None of what we're seeing today, none sense out of everything that we see happening today in the news, in the world, you know, where we're headed, could not be happening if Israel had not been brought back into their land in 1948. So that's a very critical part. And we'll talk about this. The things I have listed there, let me just read. Because I truly believe, and I've said this before, is that Israel, the restoration of Israel back into their land that God promised in the Old Testament he would, and that's happened in 1948, I believe that is the fulfilling, the start of the fulfilling of the fig tree budding and the stems being soft and the fruit coming on. And so we are to know that summer is near. That's what Jesus said. Let me just read that biblical reference in Matthew 24, just so you have what I'm talking about, and then you can study it for yourselves. But this is in Jesus' words in the Olivet Discourse to his disciples, who were wondering when all this was going to happen, and he was answering their questions. And at a certain point in this discourse, he said in verse 32 of Matthew 24, "Now learn." That's a comparative word. Learn what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm telling you and learn it. Learn what I'm saying. Learn this lesson from what? The fig tree. And I'm sure he was standing right there by a fig tree. And it was in the spring of the year, because we know this was on the Passion Week. This was the week in which Christ would go to the cross that he was sharing this. This was in the spring. He could point to a fig tree right there. Look, learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and its leaves, and we're seeing it now with the plants, those of you that grow or love plants like I do, and I've been working with my plants and my trees, the tenderness of them, you know, as the new growth comes out. As the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know, and that's an intimate knowledge, that summer is near. We're in that time of the year. We know summer's coming, you know? And so we can tell by the trees. Even so, when you see all these things, all the other things he's talked about, you know that it's near, right at the door. It's so close, it's right at the door. And then to verse 34, and this is the one I want to talk about a little deeper today. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. What Jesus was saying, some denominations translate this as the generation of Jesus. No, I don't think so when you take everything else into account. What he's talking about, when all these things happen, when the beginning of birth pains take place, when you see all these things that Jesus has said before this, that generation will see all these things take place. And that's why I want to talk about what started the generation. What started the generation we're in God's eyes, on His plan, and what will complete that? Well, we can only speculate, but there's some very interesting information, and I put it down in this handout, so we'll get to that. Okay, just reading on, and you can study these things for yourself. What's the importance of Israel being a nation again? Not only does it point to them being the fig tree, but there was a prophecy in Ezekiel 37. I encourage you to read that. The dry bones. You've all heard the dry bones. The dry bones in the desert. And they were rattling. And then their skin put on the dry bones. But the breath was not yet breathed into them. And what I'm saying is that Israel, and it says it, it's the whole house of Israel and the dry bones. And Israel has not yet received Jesus as a nation, as their Messiah. They're still looking for their Messiah to come. And so they are a nation without the Spirit, in unbelief. And so that's where I believe Israel is today. But there's coming a time when Jesus returns that they will see Him as the one that appears. And they will weep. And the remnant of Israel will all be saved at that point. They are currently surrounded by enemies. Raymond's also teaching on this on Sunday night. Psalm 83, verses 1 to 8. And I've got a listing of those nations later in this handout that Israel is surrounded by their enemies. It also says in Zechariah 12, I've got quoted there, that Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, will be, when it comes to that time, and I think we're there, we're very, very close. If we're not there, just think of all the attention given on one city in the world today. It is the city of God. Everybody realize that. Jerusalem is called the city of God by God. And so there's news on it right today. I'll just share this with you. Donald Trump's going to Jerusalem. He's going to Israel. He's supposedly going to go 2 weeks from yesterday. He's going to be in Israel on May 22nd. You know what May 23rd is on Israel's calendar? It's Yom Yerushalayim. That's the day of Jerusalem. That's the day when Israel took back the city of Jerusalem in 1967. They're celebrating that day on the 23rd. My question, you'll see it here on the sheets, is Donald Trump going to proclaim Jerusalem to move the United States' embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv? Will he proclaim and give Israel the backing for Israel to proclaim Jerusalem as their capital? We'll have to see. These are things that are right now in the news. It may not happen. God may delay all this. But Donald Trump has said he's going to do that. And I'll talk about the election of Donald Trump in these current events. All right. Israel was founded in one day as a nation. May 14th, 1948. And that was prophesied, I believe, in Isaiah 66 there that I've got. I was going to read Jeremiah 16 to you, but it prophesies throughout the Old Testament that God will bring back His people into the land throughout the Old Testament. Jeremiah 16 is very important if you study that, because it talks about them coming back from the north. Not from Egypt, from the north. We know in the Old Testament, God brought his people out of Egypt and into the promised land with Moses. But this talks about a now time. And it talks about God will hunt them down. Will hunt them down as like a hunter and a fisherman. And think about this, what's happened to the Jewish people just in the last century. Literally, they were hunted down. I mean, the extermination of Jews in World War II, 6 million dying in the gas chambers of Germany. Part of that process was some would have not come back to the land unless those events had happened. That's why we're living in marvelous times. There couldn't be a more interesting time to be living in on the fulfillment of God's prophecy. Now, an interesting thing in Jeremiah, he says he'll first lure his people back to the land, like a fisherman. A fisherman fishes with a lure. He baits them, wants to draw them back. That's what's called the Zionist movement. We'll talk about that. The Zionist movement that was officially started in 1897 by Theodore Herzl. I've got that on the outline. There's so much I could cover here, but I've just got to move through it. Maybe we can cover more with questions next week or summaries. But God first was drawing his people back into their land because he wants all the Jews to come back to Israel. And we've often questioned, how is he going to get the Jews of America to go back to Israel? There's nearly 6 million Jews, or 6 or 7 million Jews in America. Half of the Jewish population in the world, nearly, is in America. The times are too good. What's going to cause them to go back? I think something will happen in America. And so we just have to see. We have to see what God's doing. But he draws them back first, but then he has to send the hunters. And I believe the event that caused the reestablishment of the nation of Israel was World War II and what Hitler did to the Jews. And so we'll talk about that process. Okay, let me move on quickly. The rest of things I just find very interesting. The increase of knowledge. All of us know we're in the middle of a voluminous increase of knowledge. You can't keep up with it. You go out there on the internet, TV, cable TV, all the sources we have for expanding our knowledge and how things are moving so quickly. And God gave Daniel a prophecy, Daniel 12:4, that the time of the end, until the time of the end, you'll go to and fro, and knowledge will greatly increase. And so the time of the end is kind of announced by the increase of knowledge. I think it's hard for us to say, as we have lived in these last 50 years, 40, 25, 50 years, that how greatly knowledge has increased. The birth pains are intensifying. The birth pains that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and so forth is wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, and pestilences. And we can see how those are expanding. I think Raymond did a little display on the earthquakes, the difference in the intensity of earthquakes now versus what they were in last century, or last century. Worldwide instant communication. I think that had to be put in place. There has to be, so when the two witnesses in Jerusalem in the tribulation period die, and they lay in the street for 3.5 days, and then they're brought back to life. Don't you think that's going to be on CNN? And the whole world will see. As it says, the whole world will see them lying in the street for 3.5 days, and then they're brought back to life. That couldn't happen. It couldn't happen back in the day of John in the first century or even the Middle Ages. We now can see it. We also have the reference to the days of Noah and Lot. So shall be at the coming of the Son of Man. What are we witnessing today in the days of Noah and Lot? We're witnessing the violence everywhere. And that's what it was like in the days of Noah. We're witnessing perversion everywhere. That's what it was in the days of Lot. You know, so it doesn't leave anything else to have to be completed, as far as I'm concerned, with the days of Noah and Lot. The storm clouds that are brewing in the Middle East, Raymond tries to bring all that into perspective too. The world powers that are taking shape, very important. I've listed those there from all four directions, the east, the south, the north, and the west. And we're just seeing how things are moving so rapidly. We're moving towards, now there's been some pushback to this with Brexit in Great Britain, with Trump in America, but it's still moving, and it's not going to be stopped. Global government and global religion, it's headed there. And I hate to say it, but you know, the Pope, the Catholic Church, I think is feeding right into that, because he wants to make nice with all the other religions and what's happening. The apostasy within the church, we see that before our eyes. The reestablishment of Jewish symbols in Israel itself. The plans for rebuilding the temple. The formation of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin that Jesus had to go before and he was tried. That went out of existence in 425 A.D. But in 2004, they reformed. So the 70 members of the Sanhedrin are meeting. And it's for purposes of keeping the temple in order. So, and the priesthood, and we'll talk more about that in my later description, is being identified. Because if Israel is going to rebuild the temple and prepare for the third temple, then they're going to have a priesthood, reestablishment of a priesthood. Remember, they don't recognize Christ as their great high priest, like we do in the church. That's why we pray through Jesus. He's our high priest at the throne of God. Okay, let's move on to the next one, back to the first page. And this is where I think you'll find some things interesting. I can't possibly talk in detail on all these, but you can formulate your questions and I'll try to answer them as we can. The first one on the list, I put, whether you think this way or not, but I was seeing this when we started talking about it before Donald Trump was elected, and there was information out there. Why on earth did Donald Trump get elected? What were the odds against him? What were the polls? And what hatred do we see now after he's there? I'm not saying he's the perfect guy by any means. You know, he has a lot of faults. But look at these. Look at this information. Donald Trump, is he, and this is the question, is he a type of Cyrus in the Bible? Cyrus, if you read about it, read it in Isaiah. I've got the verses there in Isaiah. That was prophesied by God. The name Cyrus was given by God to the prophet Isaiah 150 years before Cyrus was born. Cyrus became the leader of the Persian Empire in the days at the conclusion of Daniel's, the book of Daniel. 539 B.C. is when Cyrus came into power in Persia. And that was at the end of Daniel's life, the completion of his prophetic word that he was given by God. And Isaiah was given the prophecies that he wrote down in 700 and some B.C. So you're talking nearly 200 years. Probably better say just 200 years before. So how can somebody name a person that's going to come by name if it isn't God's hand? And so Cyrus was named. And his role, if you don't know the role of Cyrus, Cyrus was the one that encouraged and authorized the return of the Jews from Persia. And so his desire for the Jews was to go back to Israel and rebuild the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Because the temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, in 586 B.C. And here, approximately 70 years later, well, exactly 70 years later, 516 B.C., the second temple would be rebuilt. 70 years. That's an important term. Okay. And I just told you about Trump's going to the Middle East to visit, and one of the stops is Israel. Will he do what he said he wants to do? We don't know. But this is current event. This is in the next 2 weeks, potentially. If he does it, then I think it emphasizes that God put Trump in place. Because we know that's God's word anyway, from Daniel. God puts the kings and leaders in place, and he removes them. He put Obama in place, too. Whatever you think of politics, you can make your own decision. But he put the others in place. So he's in place. But for this one reason, I always said it alone. I believe it's for Israel. It's not for the United States that Trump has been put in the presidency of the United States. Now, there could be some good that could come out of it, you know, but we'll see. Look at these unique time frames. I don't know if you've heard any of these or not, but they're just fascinating to me. When I learned that Donald Trump's birthday was June 14, 1946, I think he announced for presidency on his birthday, his 70th birthday. That's kind of interesting. His 70th birthday, he announced. And look at the date of the reformation of the nation of Israel, 5/14/48. If you count that on the calendar, it's exactly 700 days from the day he was born until Israel became a nation. Well, if you stop there, that's kind of curious, but does it really mean anything? Let's go to the next one. From Donald Trump's birth date, June 14, 1946, until his day of inauguration, January 20, 2017, is exactly 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days. 7, 7, 7. You don't make these things up. They don't happen just by random chance. Let's go one more. Benjamin Netanyahu, he's now the current prime minister, was officially made prime minister, elected as prime minister again in March 31, 2009. Donald Trump was elected on November 8, 2016. You count the days, 7 years, 7 months, 7 days. I'll just leave it for you to. And I just ask the question up above, is it coincidence or God incidence? You just have to ask yourself. Why is all this spiritual battle going on relative to his presidency? There is a war. There is a war. There is hatred. There is demonic activity. You know, so I'm not praising him by any means. I'm just saying if it is God's hand working, and there's a reason for it, not necessarily so much for America, but for Israel, we'll see. Okay, the present Hebrew year, just by interest, is 5777. 5, in God's thinking, is the number of grace. You know, 5 is throughout Scripture being grace. That's the number in Hebrew. Fifth number. It's actually the number for the Spirit. Fifth character of the Hebrew alphabet is the hay, the breath, and that's grace. We have grace through the Holy Spirit, but it is the church. But God's grace is shown by the number 5. And then follows that with 777. 7 being God's number of completion. And that tripled, just make it how much more important is that. So we're in a time, a very important time. We don't know yet what will or possibly could happen, but it's just extremely interesting time. Now that Hebrew year, I've got the period of time that actually started and will complete on September 20th. It started last October because they run by the moon calendar. They're not on our calendar. So from October 3, 2016 to September 20, 2017 is the Hebrew year 5777. They supposedly date their calendar to creation. Now, there's a lot of arguments. You can study this. They miss some years in their calendar. We think it's really closer to 6,000 years. Because if you take the literal ancestry or genealogy in the Bible, you'll get to 6,000 plus years, for 6,000 years since creation.